Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, it's another powerful day on the Paula Price Show with our host, Dr. Paula Price. How are you doing today, Dr. Price? Are you there?
Yes, I am there. I know the button I had to defeat, but I defeated it.
There you go.
I defeated it.
Welcome.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here. Again, another Thursday, another great show planned and wonderful things going on. And I'm excited about it. I'm always excited because I love Thursdays. I love talking to our Blog Talk family, because now we have a family. You see, we went from a few to a family. We're moving up to tribes, so that's pretty good. And I'm looking forward to talking with them today. So what do you have online? I know you have some things lined up, and then I'm going to share with you what God has.
Well, yes, I am looking for Calvin for when he gets back on the line, because he's supposed to be your first caller in picking up from last week. It was kind of a cliffhanger moment. And so I'm looking to see when he gets on the line for that. And then I have another one of your young sons on the line. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but you'll be happy when you hear his voice. He has a prayer request for you as well while you're giving your exhortation to the body. Oh, I think I see Calvin had just popped on there. And so I think he'll be up first today if that's him. And then while you're doing your exhortation, I'll be getting the callers lined up for you.
Well, I'm excited about that. So it's going to be great. Let's talk about my exhortation of today, because, you know, I was sitting here praying and thinking about it. You know, for those of you who all don't know, and I'm sure by now you put it together, you know, our weekly show is not canned. I don't have any scripted messages. I don't have any scripted anything other than it's being scripted by the Holy Ghost. And the reason we can rely on that is because God knows the end from the beginning. He's the Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, the first and the last. Because of that, we can rest assured that this day has been written in his history and worked out in his world while it worked its way from his world to ours. That's a good thought. When you think about that, nothing is taking God by surprise. And the reasons are not magical. You know, sometimes when we hear a sermon and we listen to a teaching and we get a revelation on God, we think it's magical. I cannot tell you how much I read, even when I'm reading through Facebook, how magical we are about God. And it's that magical mindset that disturbs our ability to cooperate with God, to work with him, and to comply with his way of doing things. You know, one of the things that they said Luke writes in the book of Acts when recording the apostles' work is that the angels told the apostles, go teach the people all of this way. So God wants us to learn his life, but he wants us to learn his way. And that's important because God has a way of doing things. Earth has its way. He programmed that. Heaven has its way. It's been running forever. Hell has its way, it's locked in. Darkness has its way, it's all set. And so there is a way. You know, life is about maneuvering. It's not always about just waiting for it to happen. Life is about maneuvering. It's about watching and paying attention. It's about picking up on the cues and picking up on the signs and knowing the seasons and the days. There's a reason why God says no seasons and times and days. Why? Because if you say something is a season is not an empty blank sheet of paper. A season is something that's already built, already established, waiting for its time to appear. To know a time, that means that there is something already slotted for that. That means things are not magical. They're allocated. They're assigned. They're appointed. They're designated. Those are very important words for you to know if you're going to walk in the times and seasons of God, if you're going to walk into the richness of what he has or walk through the developments he has. You know, we talked a little bit last week about not getting so locked in the idea of judgments that we overlook the fact that God is developing us. He's developing us for what? The seasons to come, the seasons we're entering in. He's repairing us from the seasons that we've gone through. He's refining us, filtering what we picked up along the way, discarding what we don't need, and fortifying, reinforcing, if you will, what we need for the next season. So God has seasons. That's the most amazing thing about the prophetic, that when a prophet is developed and well-trained, or a prophetic vessel is developed and well-trained, they cue in on God's times and seasons. And the more highly developed they are, the more they are familiar with the signs and the signatures of the seasons. That's the uniqueness of the prophetic. The fact that the church has been operating largely without the prophetic, without the apostles, these are the foresight, you know, of agents, without those in place, makes us always lag behind in seasons. Now, we say the church, everybody thinks the body corporate, but those of us who are members of the body of Christ, we are the church. And so we take our cue from our leaders, from our teachers, from our trainers, front runners, whatever. So if you are not in your season, you're supposed to have a way of knowing that. But if we are not preaching God's timing and seasons, we're still preaching our pet things, our pet theologies, and all of those kinds of things, you sitting in the pew will miss your season. You who are listening on the radios and the televisions will miss your season because they're not in their season, or they're not preaching the season of the church. So we have to recognize that succeeding in God is about understanding his seasons. We don't have a success from day one to day death. That's not how life works. There is the building. How about this? There's the awakening and the awareness, the discovery, the planning, the exploring, the probing, the trying, the error, the fixing. All of those are part of arriving. They are the roadmap, if you will. You know, I wouldn't even say roadmap. I have to say footsteps to the seasons, because everything about God has a season. If you are not prospering, you need to find out what you need to do to be prepared for the season when the tides change and prosperity becomes opportunities for you. If you're not making the money you want to make right now, you cannot wait for a magical move of God. God's not us. And we like to think that, but he isn't. God is God. He is working his word all the way through. He is not writing a script on you today. That is what we need to get in our brains. God is not writing our blessings out today. He is moving and maneuvering us to enter into them. He's not writing our solutions today. God's not trying to figure out what is he going to do about your tomorrow. That your tomorrow will not catch him by surprise. Neither will it catch his agents by surprise. Your tomorrow is already written out. Now, all the specifics of it, you know, coloring in the lines, that's you and God in the moment. But God already knows where he wants you to end up. And if he doesn't know tomorrow, then he's not God. So you don't have a hope. And so as much as we don't like the idea of God knowing the end from the beginning, calling the end from the beginning, being the beginning and the end, the first and the last, we don't like it. Because it makes us think, you know, we're not masters of our own destiny, but all of nature is showing us that. I mean, come on, we don't want it to rain, but we need to buy a raincoat when it's time for it to rain. We don't want snow. Some of us want it, others don't. It doesn't matter. There is this uniform, this universality, this uniform blanket of seasons and coding that God has in creation that keeps this thing moving because he's in charge of it. He can't let one thing fall through the cracks. So if you're praying about finances and you don't have it, have finances, or if you're praying about your fears and anxiety, first of all, I got to tell everybody out there, you would be surprised how much you can benefit from mature, seasoned mentorship. I like the word seasoned mentorship because these are people who have mastered discerning seasons, not just for themselves, but the seasons of God and the seasons of those in their care. Some of you all need mentors to recognize what God is doing. What is the hand of God doing in your life? Where is he in his fulfillment of his purpose and his destiny for you? It's not just enough for you to lay claim to your destiny. You can't claim what you don't know. You have to find out what is God's destiny for you. What is his purpose for your life? and not just your overwhelming purpose, your life purpose to be on the planet, but what is his daily purpose? What is his cyclical purpose? What is his seasonal purpose? What season are you in? Are you in the season to go to school? Are you in the season to graduate? Are you in the season to sow, or are you in the season to reap? Is it time for your harvest, or is it time for you to take it to the market? Where are you in your season as you walk these footsteps of success and prosperity? And when we get frustrated, and that's normal, and the life begins to pummel us, and it makes us even more frustrated and frightened. Those things are normal, but you have to keep your wits about you. You've got to keep your head, even in the most difficult times, because it's those times that determine whether or not you get a 30, 60, or 100-fold harvest on your trials and your struggles. Because God has nothing without a purpose and nothing without power. Passivity is not in God. God's not passive about anything. Whatever he is, he's either active or he is done. He's actively pursuing, or he's waiting for it to work out, but he's never passive. He can't be passive, because passive is powerless, and God is powerful. No word of God is without power. So my thought to you today is, understand your seasons, and even when you're in a season, don't look at trials and chaos and upsets or frustrations or people making you mad, and read those as signs that you should quit, you should abandon, you should jump ship, you should jump in, you should dive in, whatever. You have got to think according to a plan. You were made by a logical, intelligent, thinking, insightful, foresightful creator. God looked at the end of himself. That's how he could write it. He looked at the end of himself and the end of his world and how he got to where he was and what he learned to do. And he then said, wow, I've got it worked out. We're ready. We're good to go. And he set about reproducing himself, allocating all of those things at various stages. And, yes, it is a complex thing, you know, but it is reality. It is how he thinks. It is unfortunate. Most of us are frustrated with God because we've sat in those services and listened to short-sighted preachers talk about God is simple and everything about him is easy. You cannot have a simple God who created the heavens and earth. He's either going to be complex or he's going to be simple. If he's simple, he didn't accomplish much. If he accomplished everything that we teach, then he is not a simple God. He simplified himself for us. And so if you're constantly looking for the simplistic, then the nuances and the developmental things and the rigors of success will always be too much for you. You'll always just find it too strenuous to go after it. If you're in a place right now, wherever you are, if you're in a place right now and say, I need change, you cannot sit down and just quote, I need a change. You have got to sit down intelligently, work out what that looks like in a 24/7 window. In a 365-day year. What does that look like? And if you know what your change should look like, then you should go to the next step and decide how you're going to make that happen. And prayer is a first step, and prayer is an ongoing engine. But trust me, if all you're trying to do to create change in your life is sit and wait and pray, I'm here to tell you, you're going to wait a long time, and you're going to get very old and very dead before it happens. Change happens on purpose. Change does not happen by accident. Trust me, even if it happened to you accidentally, it did not happen by accident. It just caught you accidentally off guard. We're filled with the presence of God. We're filled with the spirit of the Godhead, the very spirit that strung the stars in the sky and created the heavens and the earth. And we have got to stop thinking that God is a magic man. It's not magical. God many times won't move on your behalf because he wants to see how much you're going to move for yourself. Because God does not want to be your slave. You realize he doesn't want to work for you all day long. He wants to work with you. God doesn't want to be on your clock. He doesn't want to punch your time clock. He doesn't want to work at your word. He wants us to be a team. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit to come alongside. Paracletos, he's coming alongside us. God does not want to do our jobs for us, and he doesn't want to live our lives for us. You know, everything in your body has got to live its life for itself. And when it stops and it dies, nothing else does it for it. So everything in our body does it. Your kidneys have to live for themselves. You realize that your lungs cannot do the work of your kidneys. I don't care how much you want to do it. And so even though we're in God, and even though he can do everything, and we like to say that like two-year-olds, oh, well, God can do everything and anything. Yeah, he can, but is it worth his while to do it? Is it really worth God's while to get into our little nitty-gritty everyday stuff that he's given us authority, dominion, and instructions and help to do? He's not going to do it. He's efficient. And, you know, some of you all today, I would like to say, just study the word efficient. God is efficient. He's a very efficient God. He's also very economical. God doesn't waste himself. He proved that when he did the miracle of the food. He's the, oh, we have some left over? Okay, let's gather up all the fragments. Don't leave the leftovers. Because God, there are no leftovers. There's what I'm going to use next time. So he can do anything, people. God can make anything happen, but is it worth his while? Because you think of God as a lone ranger. You think God is pulling this off and making all of these things happen in your life single-handedly. He is not. God has a whole staff. He told you. He's got powers. He's got thrones. He's got dominions. He's got principality. He's got hosts. He told you that. He says it over and over again. I work with a force. I have armies. I have ministers. I have ministering spirits. I have angels. I have elders. I have kings. I have princes. I've got all of that in the spirit and in the natural. Think about that, because that's why we get mad, because things get held up. You're like, well, he's God. He could snap his fingers. He's not going to snap his fingers, because if he did, all of those things that he set in place are going to be toppled. It's too late in the game for us to assume that God is just going to knock everything out of the way in an instant for us. It's way too late in the game. And for the people who've never accomplished anything in life and never had to build anything and keep it going, they can't get it. But those of you who know what it is to put something into existence and then have a whole bunch of people having to be a part of making it happen, you don't turn on a dime. It takes time, and you have to plan it. You have to plot your course. You have to inform everybody. You have to prepare people. There's a whole lot that has to happen. And if we pay attention to how the Holy Spirit moves, that is what he does. God's been telling us for 40 years he's going to do a new thing. While he's in the middle of the old thing, he's already saying, now listen, I'm going to change. And he's telling the different prophets, and he was telling different people, I'm changing. Why? Because he's programming. He's letting us know this shift is going to happen, but he didn't do it in the same day. God will, he will announce and prophesy and announce and prophesy for a long time before your soon becomes your suddenly becomes your now. See, God wants you to recognize that if we're going to work in his kingdom, it is not a whole lot different than it is on earth. You don't move a country in a moment. You don't just move. If we had a warning, okay, you need to get out of your region and you need to get out in an hour, and you just put that over a broadcast, do you know what would happen? Only a few people would get out in an hour. Most of them would get out in 3 days, because even though they started to act on it in an hour, they had to work through crowds, people's preparation, plannings, and all of that. Why am I having this talk with you today? Because a lot of us are frustrated with God because we haven't learned to work with God. We haven't learned to partner with him. You know, in the Psalms, he talked about we don't know the operation of his hand. That is one of the most powerful phrases of Scripture. Set my life free. Wait a minute, God has an operation? Wow, no joke. Really? I didn't know that. Because to me, he was the magic man. To me, he would snap his fingers and make it happen. When God snaps his fingers, you realize that even if he snapped his fingers, it could be decades before it gets to earth, before it works its way through his finger. So he snapped his fingers. He might have snapped his fingers in 1802. We're just getting it in 2013, because he built a kingdom. He had a kingdom. He has kingdoms. He has worlds. He has systems that he's working through, which is why when he starts talking to us, he says, obey me. He's not afraid that we're going to break his heart, that we're going to sin and he doesn't know about it. He's saying, I know what's coming, and if you're not in the right place, it's coming and you'll miss it. It'll pass you by. You'll blink it. You'll be in the wrong place. You'll be sitting in the wrong church when I send your blessings. You'll be working on the wrong job when I send the promotion. You'll be living in the wrong city when I send the new housing. You'll be doing something else. Why? He's trying to get us accustomed to it. So before your blessing comes, God gives you strong training lessons, strong lessons on obeying him, following his voice, being accurate, staying with the right place, staying with the right person, being on task, getting that education, finishing it on time, getting that training, getting it and getting done on time, getting your certification, If you're an attorney, getting the passing the bar on time, you know, everything about God is timing, not because he has an ego trip. And because we think of him as a magic man, we don't give God credit for knowing tomorrow because he planned it. And so he knows what's coming down in 5 years. He knows what's coming down in 20 years. Why? He was getting David ready 20 years. Saul was on the throne 20 years after David got the word. 20 years, God had fired Saul 20 years earlier. Nobody knew it but God. It wasn't until it was David's time and his training was done that we realized he was always a replacement. Now, throughout the years, people discovered, you know, the prophecies, David is going to sit on a throne and all of those kinds of things. But in the beginning, God fired Saul not long after he hired him. But Saul's the only one that didn't know. Why? Because God had to get the replacement ready. If you are a replacement, get ready. Instead of looking backwards at all of the things that didn't happen, begin to look at it and see what, do a tick sheet. Check it off. Okay, I learned that. I learned this. I learned that. God taught me that. This trial gave me that. I got this wisdom. And look at how ready you really are to be blessed, to enter into that which the Lord has prepared for you. And that's why every week I keep talking about, come on, let's stop feeling sorry for ourselves because of these trials, because they are important. They are the trying of our faith is working patience. It's working the ability to keep what we have, to master what we're called to do, to exemplify the Godhead in that thing that he has waiting for us. And it's all according to plan. God has made more heroes, more leaders, more winners, more conquerors, more than anybody else. Nobody can match him. So he knows how to make a winner. He knows how to make a leader. He knows how to make a champion. He knows how to make a conqueror. And we have to find out how that happens. And I realize that this is not for everybody, but I know for apostolic prophetic people, we want to know how life works. We want to be in charge of our part. We want to do our part, pick up our load, and do our responsibility. We want to do that. True Bible folks, true Christians, they need it. They don't want to be tossed around. They don't want to just be swept away with what's coming. They're not just moving in the trends. They're moving on purpose according to a specific design. God has plotted the course of your success. He's plotted the course of your victory. He's plotted your restoration. It's plotted out, and if you spend time with him, he's going to tell you. If you spend time with him, he's going to show you. That is what I want you to get. We make a big deal about prayer. It's like everything is a joke. Yeah, I hope I can fit into prayer. Yeah, I hope I. If you were living life on purpose, prayer wouldn't be a problem. It would be a practice because you would need to know what the next step is. Living life on purpose means you need to go to he who wrote your purpose. That means you and God talk 24/7. That means he talks to you in your sleep, you get your dreams, whatever. He tells you what he's doing day by day. You ask him where you are. Okay, well, Lord, where am I in the thing? God will give you a plan if you let him. He will plot your course for you if you'll listen. He won't do it if you're prone to not doing what he says, because he wastes nothing. So he's certainly isn't going to waste his time or his breath. But prayer is not just getting on your knees, yelling out, whining, crying on the floor. Prayer is consulting and conferring with your God about his purpose and his direction for your life. It's consulting and conferring. It is not just shouting out. It is not just reaching into a bag like it's a game. You're just reaching into a bag and pulling out a card and say, okay, I'll pray for that. Prayer is a very deliberate thing. It's very strategic, very tactical, because it's a transaction. When you are in prayer, if you're going with the right heart, you're transacting business with God for your sphere of life, whatever that might be. If it's for your family, it's for your family. But prayer is not a religious exercise, and it certainly is not an exercise in futility. You should never engage in prayer for what you don't want to happen, and you should never engage in prayer for what you won't make happen. If you're not willing to walk the steps to make your prayer happen, just put it on the back burner. You're not ready for it. Because when God begins to answer prayer, it is not just him saying yes. The Lord saying yes to your prayer is the minutest part of the plan. The biggest part of the plan is now that he says yes, he's got to mobilize what it takes to bring his word to pass. And that involves you. He's got to mobilize you, build your faith, get your confidence, get you aware. Because no matter how much it looks like it's magic, it isn't. It's just unseen. We don't see God's kingdom. We don't see his hand except in its result, in its effect. You know, it always cracked me up when we hear about, you know, the evolutionists talking about the Big Bang. Well, who triggered the bang? Who decided that bang is how we would do it? Why? Because we are humans. We only deal on the obvious. We only deal on what we can see, our five senses. We have no capacity. Well, most of them don't. Those of us who feel the Holy Ghost, that's different. But most humans don't have the capacity to deal with causes. They can only deal with effects. And even if we go back to initial effect, it's still the cause we can't answer. And so just because we don't see God system moving, we don't see the legions and myriad of angels running back and forth transacting business for him. We don't see his word going here or how he's triggering a heart or embedding something in a soul or a drink. We don't see those things. So we assume that they're not happening. But there's a great deal that goes into play for God to answer your prayer. And even, let us not forget as I wrap this up, even his involvement and maneuvering of darkness to get his word to pass, his working around sin, working around the law of sin and death. There are a whole lot of things. And for some of you all, you might say, man, I'm not interested in that. That's fine. But for those who know you're called to make it happen, the more you learn God, the more you understand how he works, the more you cooperate with him, the more you expedite the process. Because we can expedite it. And when we can't expedite it, we can certainly take better advantage of it. We can exploit it. We can say, well, okay, so I'm in a holding pattern. Well, what am I going to do while I'm in this holding pattern? It's like sitting in an airport. You can't get on a plane until they let you on a plane. So what are you going to do in the meantime? You want to be where you want to be all day long, but guess what? You can't get there. So you're going to sit in that airport. You're going to wander around, meander around. You might want to meet some friends and chat. You might want to talk. You might want to get on the phone, watch a movie. But guess what? If you're in a holding pattern, your activities change. They're greatly diminished and restricted. So if God has you in a holding pattern, recognize that and find out what he wants you to do while you're in that pattern. Somebody else, God is just waking you up in the morning. Someone else, he's getting you through some sort of change. He's maybe purging or cleansing. It's obvious. And that's what we don't know. It's obvious that God is working a system. So even if he says yes to you today, don't assume that yes means done in the now. Yes means done in him. Like what you've asked, he's already done, and so it's en route and it's happening. So now you must alter your behaviors, alter your attitudes, your beliefs, your conversations, your choices, your options to the prayer you prayed. Otherwise, why'd you pray? To the petition that you've made. Otherwise, why did you do it? You know, I want a job, and then you don't get up every day. What's the point? Don't pray. Otherwise, every day you're going to get up and say, God, is this the day? Which way we're going to go? And then when you don't get that job, you don't get angry, sit down and pout and say, God, I thought you did it for me. You sit down and say, now, what was I supposed to get out of that experience? Okay, so I'm going to need this for the next one. Got it. All right. Because sometimes when God has an answer that's huge, he's going to make you do a lot of dry runs so that you acquire the knowledge and the kit and experience and the skill to seize the one thing he has for you, to make the impression you need to make. So there's a whole lot more wisdom. This is part of my wisdom classes. Today you got a free visit to my wisdom class. And I just wanted to share that with you because I would love to see the body of Christ conquer on purpose. You know, even success ought not to catch us by surprise. We know we don't want calamities and setbacks to catch us by surprise. But for a lot of people, they're successful and they can't keep it because they don't know why and how. Because the system worked without their awareness. But in this era, God is causing us for sobriety. He doesn't want to do us like he did Lot. You know, he told Lot, let's leave because we get ready. Two angels are telling you, this place is giving. You got to get up out of here. Lot wants to meander around and try to find his clothes and try to find his things and pack up at his own thing. And they said, the angels are like, guys, this thing is happening. Why? They know that what God has done is in play and it's en route. This guy is blind and he doesn't know that his very life is on the line. finally, in order to obey God, the angels have to pick him up. So his miracle comes, but they're snatching him up and running him out of town just in the nick of time so that he doesn't get destroyed. And a lot of us, our blessings are like that, that we just want God to pick us up, snatch us up, run us out of harm's way, run us into our blessing, run us into our safety without us being aware. That's not what time of day it is in Christ. Today we're in the time of sobriety. We're in a time of awareness. And now God wants us to be adult children and to work with him arm in arm, shoulder to shoulder, on purpose. Hallelujah. Ashley?
Oh, yeah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. You get your 30 seconds.
Well, I'll just say that was fully loaded. So many things that I don't even need to repeat because you said them so eloquently. But some of the things I highlighted, God is not passive because passive is powerless. I like how you just said, even success should not run up on you and surprise you because success is on purpose and prosperity is on purpose. And, oh, my goodness, and if you are the replacement, get ready. I think that is the essence of what God is saying right now and in everything you said today and really have been saying over the last several weeks. Get yourself ready. Don't just wait, you know, with our hands in the classroom. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Jesus, pick me. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Yeah, you know, you're sitting on the edge of your seat and you're stretching your arm higher than everybody else in the class. And, hey, I was in class first, I'm sitting in the front row, and you're not studying and you're not doing your homework and you're not trying to show yourself approved at all. So I really appreciate that. If you are a replacement, get ready. Do the work. Come off the scene sometimes. Be humble. Sit under a mentor. Whatever that is, if you're supposed to break through in finance, you need to find a financial mentor. I mean, it doesn't just have to be like a pastor or a church setting. So very powerful and, of course, once again, very well said.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. And I like to hear, you know, you're one of my mentee prophets, well, actually, you know, and my future apostles. So you're one of those that I spend a lot of time pouring into you, and we talk a lot. And so it's good to hear how your mentees give it back at you because that's how you know if a person is thinking the way you need them to think or if they're just listening and tolerating your words. And one of the things that I don't do is talk to folk that simply tolerate my words. I need to bear fruit because, like I said, God's not passive. And it's important as we go forth in our call today that everybody listening to us understand. I do this and I answer the prayers and all of that because I understand a lot. Not everything. God knows I'll probably be, you know, 2,056 years old when I get it. But I understand a lot of how God works. And the one thing he told me when I first started moving forward, Ashley, was that my kingdom it's been around a long time. He said, there is a reason why I'm the ancient of days. You know, God's not even working without a populace. He's got a populace. He's got citizens. He's got law, everything. Everything that he's done, his prototype, his template, comes out of his kingdom. So he's not being surprised. And if we as God's people, and particularly leaders, those of you who are listening and you're leaders, let's stop giving your people the idea that God is a magic man, that if they just say it three times, it's going to happen. If they shout to the wind, stand on the bridge, spit out into the heavens, it's going to happen. Let's quit that because earth is physical. We must work within the time, the law of sin and death. We must work within the laws of nature, the laws of time and space. We must work within those things, and we have to teach people no matter how elaborate it is in the spirit, how efficient God has mastered his world and how, you know, rapidly he can bring it to pass in the spirit, it still must go 24/7, 365. And so what are your people doing? I'm saying to you who are leaders today, whether you're leading a prayer group, a church, a network, a company, a kingdom, it doesn't matter. What are your people doing with their spirituality when they must bring it into 24/7, 365? How are they making that happen? Because trust me, the entirety of what it takes for God to answer prayer does not happen in a moment, a second, an instant, or a day. This thing is metered out. And that's a logic that I would love to share. So, hey, that was really great, Ashley. I'm excited about that. All right. Now, we have Calvin, you know, on the phone, and we're going to pick up from last week, and we're going to, I'm sure between last week and this week, God has talked to Calvin a little bit and enlightened him to some things. So we're going to pick up. We'll review the situation because Calvin was in a church, and he left his church, and he called us last week to find out where he should go because God isn't giving him another church, and he left his church because he was a little bit disturbed about a secondary leader or co-pastor that was brought in that, you know, he was at odds with. It was a family church, family environment. So we're going to pick up from there. I left Calvin with some questions last week. Let's see if he remembers them. Calvin, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here. God bless you, and thank you for taking my call this week.
Oh, I'm glad to. Do you remember the questions that I challenged you with last week?
Well, the one that stood out the most, I remember that one. And I had to think about that. It kind of got to me a little bit. But the question you asked me was, if you prayed, what did God say? And that's the question that stumped me because I really didn't have an answer because I hadn't heard him say anything. And I thought about the question again, and you asked me, did I pray for him?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yes, without really thinking about the question. I prayed about the situation more than I prayed for him. And that blew me away once we hung up last week, and that really stuck with me. So, yeah, that was the question that really stuck out to me.
Exactly. Now, I also asked you a third question. I said, if you prayed, why did your leaving catch him by surprise?
Hmm.
That was my third question.
Okay.
Because when you're praying for a leader and the Holy Spirit is acting on your prayer, he definitely will begin to put something, some sort of inkling in the object of those prayers. Okay, some sort of inkling would come in mind. So we've got a whole lot that's surrounding prayer with you, Calvin. And we talked about the woman and their back history and why he chose her and all of that and your discomfort. And I think another thing, because you have three things that really troubled you. Number one was this woman taking over. Number two was the fact that God had not relocated you in his body yet. And then number three, you were concerned about your wife and the impact of all of this on her. Those were the three things that I heard last week. Is that accurate?
Right, yes.
Okay. And that's how we got to the prayer thing. You were his adjutant. And as his adjutant, you were close to him. Adjutant is also a part of guardianship. It's a part of, you know, watching who's coming and who's going and even watching when they're deceived. And I want to go there. That's where I want to begin. Now, I'm going to tell all of you all who are still listening and who've joined me today, I'm going to walk through this, okay? So I'm going to do what it takes because this man has a great destiny, but God wants to address this issue in his body. So we're going to walk through this. Amen. Just want to get clear. Okay. So the first thing I want to say is that as his adjutant, even if you felt he was deluded, you know, because sometimes leaders get seduced. We get seduced because we have one hit too many. We get seduced because we've got problems we can't tell anybody about it, and they weigh on us. We get seduced because we kind of feel like, okay, God, maybe we're not effective. And sometimes we even want to prove ourselves to the Lord. Hey, we're human. It's what we do. But as our guards, we expect you to pray for us. We expect you to go to God and not say, I don't like what he did, but God, what's going on with my leader? God, what has come in? Because something has come in on this person, whether it's he or she, bishop, pastor, evangelist, pastor, prophet, it doesn't matter. But that you want to begin, and I'm just telling you because you're going to be a great leader. And I'm also going to tell you because these in your position, if I don't get you to work this out, this is going to happen to you. It's going to be a repeat cycle in your own ministry life. So I've got to get your thoughts right on this. So
right.
The one thing you want to do as an adjutant and as a guard is to always pray. Don't just assume. I mean, it's not enough to say, huh, the devil got my pastor. That's not enough if you're in that position. That's what they say in the pew. You know, maybe that's what they say in the boardroom with the trustees. But you are the one that knows. Because when Saul got in trouble, Saul's leaders knew he was in trouble. Nobody else did. They knew enough to go and act on what was happening to Saul. If you remember, Saul started, when God and Saul had their break, Saul started, they said, the Lord sent a distressing spirit. And his leaders had to go and find a solution. Well, see, we can do that because you can't get rid of a king and you can't leave a country. But what if we had that kind of concern for even those that God assigned us to? So if you knew he was in trouble, one of the things you might have wanted to consider is, God, how can I help him? Even if you can't confront your leader, there are things that you can do spiritually because of your position in their sphere of life. So you were in his sphere of life. You weren't just, and you were in his sphere of life. So interesting, it's like Saul and David. You were like the son-in-law, you know. You were in his sphere of life. And so you had the authority to begin to pray and begin to seek God for solutions. And even if God didn't use you to speak into his life, God, I pray that you would send voices that he does regard and heed, if I'm right. Because you don't have to have been right. The first thing you want to do when you start coming against your leader is waiting to make sure you are correct.
Right.
That you're right. Because if you're not, God's got to defend that leader, and you are going to be a casualty thereof.
Right.
So you want to make sure, and I'm telling you this because you're going to use this class a lot. I promise you, Calvin, as surely as I am who I am in the Holy Ghost, you are going to need this. And so you want to make sure you're right. That's step one. If you all are writing notes, write down step one. If I have an issue or concern about my leader, I need to make sure that I am right. Because if I am not right, then God will have to prove his righteousness, and I could be a casualty of that. So that's the first thing you want to do. Okay, am I right? And how do you know? Well, you'll know because, number one, if your heart is genuine, you're going to know. Because the first thing, God's never going to reinforce, he's not going to reinforce us anyway. This is what he'll say. He'll say, if you've got art against your brother, go clean it up with your brother. Come back and pray. See, Jesus is going to start basic. You know, he's going to basic thing. So, but he will let you know. He'll show you ways to let you know if your judgment is correct. And if God wants to use you in the future like he wants to use you, Calvin, he's going to do some very unique things to let you know whether or not your judgment is correct, whether or not it's objective, or whether you're biased. And if you're going to be a great leader, you have got to put yourself through those paces. You cannot just feel, think, and resolve. You've got to explore your feelings. You've got to explore your motives, because that's what great leaders do. We don't just run out there and say, well, that's how I see it, so bless God, that's how it is. That's not a great leader. That might be a leader. That's not a great leader. A great leader is going to explore themselves. You're going to ask yourself, examine yourself, see if you're in the faith. Wait a minute. Now, why am I bothered by this? Am I jealous? Am I angry? Do I feel cheated? Why am I bothered by this? You're going to put yourself through those paces. And if you do, God will jump in at some point and begin to lead you to the truth, because the Holy Spirit is in us to lead us and guide us into all truth. So the first thing you want to do is find out if you're right, if you're impartial, or if you're biased, and if your motives are pure. And that's not something you have to publicize. This is between you and the Holy Ghost. You know, a lot of times we act like we got to stand up in front of the church and just dump our souls. That's not necessarily the case. But so let's say, moving on, let's say you found out, yeah, I'm right. The Holy Spirit has proved it. He's given me these ways to know I'm right. Now begin to pray. Okay, God, if I am, how do you want me to pray? Because if you've worked with God to get to that realization, you and God are teaming up. Now, how do I pray?
Right.
And you begin to pray. And you don't make it a prayer incident. You make it a prayer vigil. You pray until God tells you what to do. Okay, now here's the interesting part. When you have power in prayer, before it gets better, it gets worse, because you're literally accelerating the issues so that they're seen. So it gets worse sometimes before it gets better, so that everybody who is observing this can see the issue, not just you. See, if you saw it and you acted on it, then you look like you look like sour grapes. But by the time God gets through having you dig into this thing, everybody will see it. And it could well be that if God can manifest it and accelerate it so that even he sees it, you might be able to have done your job in prayer and not had to do anything else.
Right.
But let's say that didn't happen. Let's say that. So now it's getting worse. You know, you realize that when we look in the scripture and it talks about when God says, that iniquity was found in the angel, in Satan, he said that But God had to let that play out because God was the only one that knew it. So if he started beating on this guy for no reason, God looks unjust. So he lets the thing play out so everybody knows. So you would look a lot better if it played out and then people started coming to you. Have you noticed so-and-so? Did you see that and what? Blah, blah, blah. But the way you expressed it last week, you went to everybody. You polled the church on your leader. Now, you may not have intended to do that, but the effect is what it is. You polled the church, which means you uncovered him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what you intended to do because you don't strike me as that kind of guy. But when we are so convinced that we're right and we haven't walked through those steps of prudence, just put this under that umbrella, steps of prudence, because we haven't walked through those steps of prudence, we just get a little bit rash and we go ahead of our wisdom. And a lot of times, rashness is simply that, going ahead of your wisdom. So you jumped the gun on your own logic. So let's say you didn't, all right? So the next thing we did, you really would have done better had you worked it out in prayer. And then when you worked it out, you had to consider more than others because right now you are, I know you have to be extraordinarily prophetic. I know that. And I know that because when you're prophetic, my God, when our feelings get enraged and inflamed, we get tunnel vision. We become myopic. We don't even hear another thing. You know, that's part of the growth thing. We don't even hear. Even if folks are saying something, we hear it all wrong, you know, because we are strong. Our emotions are very much tied to our mantleship, to our ability to communicate what God is saying, you know, because we also share his emotions. You know, God rides on the fullness of our being. And so when we get like that, if we haven't come up with these disciplines, which we must do to restrain ourselves so that we don't have to always go back and say, sorry, oops, sorry, excuse me, sorry, please forgive me. See, because as prophets, the early days, we're always going to say, I'm sorry, because we're always ahead of ourselves. Again, don't run ahead of your wisdom and logic. Let them do their work and then move out and what you've learned. So we don't listen, you know. And so it could well be that your wife may have had some good points. Someone else may have had some good points if you had a confidant. Because one of the things I know about being an adjutant to a great person, and I pray about this all the time with Ashley and my daughter, you often don't have a confidant because the confidant is a risky thing in positions like yours. And because people are always looking to think evil of your leader, always looking to find a crack in their armor, a chirp in them, or a piece of clay in their, you know, in their divinity, quote unquote, you know, you can't trust everybody. So you can't say, you know what, I'm really concerned about this, because if you say it to the wrong person, they'll say, yeah, see, I talked to Brother Calvin, Mr. Calvin said there's a problem there. You didn't say that at all, but because they're not able to be your confidant, many times you don't even get that external work board, that external work table to really process this out. That's a real gap in the body of Christ for armor bearers and guards and stewards and adjutants and things like that. That's a real void because I often feel sorry for them because I know that there are times they just need to process how I'm affecting them, but they don't have a safe place. And I think you were like that, and your wife probably could have been that safe place had she not been so emotionally entangled, you know. But you need that. You need that safe place being in there. That's one of the things that caused you to feel like you were locked out because you had no place no emotional work table to just really process that information. The next thing, I hope this is helping you, because I'm coming toward the end. The next thing I want to talk about is that you also owed it to God to pray for that woman. That was your leader.
Mm-hmm.
And you owed it to God to pray for that woman because perhaps she was so excited about having her new position or she was so enthusiastic about finally, you know, getting a decent place. You don't know what she went through before she got there. Whatever, you don't know what cave God had her in or whatever. She just might have been overzealous, a little overexuberant. But again, you had power in prayer because you were in their sphere. And if I don't leave you with any thought, I want you to remember that. When you're that close to a leader, you're in their sphere. That's how you can help them or hurt them.
Right.
And that's just where you were. So it would have been good for you to do that because great, great guards, great attendants, assistants, adjutants, whatever you want to call them, they're looking to keep their leader's place intact because even your leaving put a blow on that thing. And that blowback shouldn't have been. So if there was any way you could have taken your position seriously and said, you know what, I don't want to be the cause of this thing weakening. If I have to walk out, I've got to know that it's God, that it's the right time, and I'm doing it the right way. Because he relied on you to be a part of that seal that kept that hedge intact. So it would have been really helpful had you also included her. Because there are a lot of things your leaders are going to do, and I'm not speaking to you alone right now, I'm speaking to our callers. There are a lot of things that your leaders are going to do that you disagree with. Make sure your disagreement is not emotional or personally motivated. Make sure it is about the good of the organization and the good of this purpose, person's call and their fulfillment of purpose. So that would have been something else. You would have, if by the time you had gotten done, you would have had a whole journal on this thing, and you would have known how to handle it because God would have written it out for you. Now, let's go on. Now let's talk about the fact that you did poll his people. I don't think I have to belabor that point, but I would like to say that's an uncovering, and I don't know if you meant to do that, but that's an uncovering. And I'm praying that when you get in another position like this, and it won't be long, that you are afforded a confidant that you can go to outside those ranks that's trustworthy. And in today's time, only God can provide that person because confidants can just turn vicious in a moment. But you need that in your position. The other one has to do with your wife. Your wife is in a position that is utterly unenviable. She's in love with her husband. She loves her father. She loves her church. She has a church family. She has a natural family, a blood family. And now this girl is snatched out of all of that. And that is a scary place. And as much as husbands like to think that they can be the end-all, do-all, be-all for us, they can't. Daddy has a place. God has a place. Husband has a place. Friend have a place. And, you know, of course, we need development in doing that. But you have to recognize now she's lost her pastor. She's lost her father in terms of relationally. She's lost her church, and all her foundation has been ripped away. That's a big decision for her. That's a big decision for you to take on your shoulders.
Right.
That's a huge. Mm-hmm. It's a huge decision. And even though she loves you and she may never say it, that's a lot to ask of her when you all have not been married 10, 15 years. You
right.
know? That's
right.
a lot. You know, 10, 15 years, you all have built up a concurrent life experience, a concurrent existence that she could turn to. But you literally just, you might as well move her to another state.
That's what I wanted to do.
Yeah, but would that have, yeah, but moving her to another state while she's estranged from her family, do you really want to do that?
No, no. Not now that I look at it, but I did want to. And I think that's the pressure that was on me in that ministry and the manipulation that was entangling her. And at the time, I figured and I really believed that in order to save her mentally, because like I said last week, she was foregoing her conscience in order to do certain things for the ministry, not necessarily mm-hmm. bad in the sense of, you know, working in the ministry is not bad, but the outcome of it. You know, not going too interpersonal, but the outcome of it as far as between she and I, it turned bad. So, you know, I just figured that, okay, you know what, to save us mentally, we need to come out of this. And then, of course, the other things that were surrounding the decision caused me to just say, you know what, it's time to do this. It's time to come on out.
I would have, but you know, that might have still ultimately been the best decision, but the fact of the matter is you didn't even teach her how to handle it. You taught her how to flee.
Yeah.
You didn't teach her how to stand and fight for her church, fight for her father, fight for her relationship. You didn't teach her any of that. You taught her how to flee.
Mm-hmm.
And you're her husband. And according to God's idea, you're supposed to be there to make her stronger, not weaker. So now she's afraid. She's estranged from her family. She's clinging to her husband because, well, what else does she have? But guess what? When your marriage gets in trouble, she doesn't know how to fight for it either.
Mm.
Because you, this was, to me, I think you all had the best opportunity to move to the next level in your maturity, in your adulthood, in your spiritual strength, and in your spiritual dominion. Because if, rather than get caught up in her breaking down and being emotional, whatever, you could have taught her how to be strong. You could have taught her, helped her think, okay, baby, first thing we're going to do is pray. We're going to pray because this is not God, and we're going to pray because we're better than this, and we're going to, and you could have started tapping into her strength instead of feeding her weaknesses.
Right.
That's what husbands are supposed to do. They're supposed to tap into your strength and not just feed into your weaknesses.
Right. And I think that would, go ahead.
But
I don't want to cut you off.
Yeah, I just want to say, because tapping into her strengths, Calvin, would have made her a prayer warrior.
Right.
And that's what we're going after. You, because if you're going to be in ministry, when your ministry gets in trouble, you're going to need a strong praying wife. And this is not the way to build one. So all a lot of times when we have our difficulties and situations, they are always looking to our future, and God is giving us an opportunity to do it. When your family gets in trouble and all of that, you want to make sure this is a prayer woman. If this woman would have been you and her partner and said, we don't care what devil, we're not giving this up, we're not going, this is our place, this is our inheritance, this is our destiny, whatever you said. If you had done that and you've linked up and locked up in prayer with her, let me tell you something. She would have grown leaps and bounds. You, and every time she wanted to crush, you just kind of encourage her up. Every time you want to crush, she'd encourage you. But the two of you all together could have done, had a whole different outcome.
Right.
And that's what I want for you. Your marriage has a great assignment in the earth, in this earth realm over the next 10 to 12 years. You cannot play in your wife's weakness. You've got to start developing her for the call that's on your lives, for your future ministry. Many times people marry, you know, they get married. We're so happy. And see, we're very Hollywood about marriage today. We think it's cute that you got this, and I'm not saying this about your wife because I don't know her, but just a case in point, we think it's cute that your wife acts like a little girl and that she's frilly and she's still cute and you got this little teenage thing going on and she's just such a baby and she's so dependent. That's cute when you're dating, and it may be cute in the honeymoon eras, but when you have to take kingdom, that's not the woman that's going to get you to do it.
Right.
So if you have in your mind that God has called you to kingdom, then you need to start building a queen that does, wants to do more than wear a tiara.
Right.
And that was your opportunity here. So you can go back and fix that. There's nothing that you've done that cannot be fixed, certainly in prayer. Okay? And the last thing of this, because I think this has just been a wonderful experience, I thank you for trusting me to speak into it. But the last thing I want to say to you is that God can't answer you yet until you and God sit down and talk man to man on this issue, because God has plans for you. And God will only ignore you like this when he wants you to come to the full knowledge of the truth,
mm-hmm.
and he wants you to come to him the right way. Now, why am I saying this? Think of Job. God puts Job through this trial. See, because, you know, God has his ways. And so God puts Job through this trial, and Job's friends talk, and Job through the whole thing. He's, why won't he talk to me? I mean, why won't the Most High answer me? Job is having a fit. Okay, because his friends are telling him one thing, and another friend is telling him something else, and another friend is telling him something else, and Job is like, okay, enough of you. I've heard enough from you guys. I want, if there was just a mediator between me and him and God and Job, why? Well, the story of Job is a very interesting story, because Job was actually a ruler. He was a regional ruler. So he was accustomed to God talking. So now God shuts up. There's a trial, won't answer, won't talk to him, and his whole world is devastated. But here's the point that I want to make.
Mm-hmm.
When all of the human stuff had come out and Job had had enough data and information to speak on, God shows up in a whirlwind. And he said, you stand up because I'm going to talk to you like a man. You want to charge me? I want to talk to you like a man. And he begins to challenge Job. And that's where you and God are at right now. You should look for the whirlwind, because God wants to talk to you, but he wants to talk to you like a man. He couldn't have spoken to you before this call because there was too many factors that your logic hadn't locked in on. So God needed you to have, because, see, we want to hear from the Logos, you need some logic, you know? So your logic needed to lock in on this. Now you and God are going to talk, and he's going to answer, and he's going to give you a plan and a roadmap. But the first thing you need to recognize is that that assignment came from God. Favor comes from God. When people have favor with us, that's God giving them favor. And he wants you to know that I don't need you walking out on everything you disagree with. I need you to show me that you can shoulder to shoulder with me in the trenches and fight for what I want.
Okay.
That could have been a 90-day trial or a 3-month trial or a 3-year trial. But the fact of the matter is you are a soldier in the kingdom. And you are a servant. And so those two things were important to God. I am glad that you called because I know God has great calls for you. I know that this was this is an object lesson for you that you needed to understand how God works and how the kingdom works. And so from this point on, you and God are going to have a different relationship, and it's going to be a different kind of discussion. And you're going to have to go back, and you're going to have to say whether you go back to that church or not is right now is irrelevant. But you have to fix what you did.
Right.
Because that's what great leaders must do. We don't become great because we just amass. We learn how to win. We learn how to lose. We learn how to recover. And we learn how to repair.
Mm-hmm.
And for you, this is reparation. You have to repair that with him, with that woman, with your wife. And then you're going to turn around and begin to tell your wife, baby, we got a big future, and we have to do life a little bit different.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm telling you, you have a big future.
God bless you.
Well, now, can I pray?
Yes.
Did you have any comments before I pray?
I do. I have been following you for a long time, and you probably remember me because I used to always send those emails saying, I'm pulling on you. Maybe I shouldn't be, but I am, and I've been pulling for a long time because I'm looking for a mentor. I don't have really a lot of people that can understand what's going on in this big head of mine. So I just thank God for you. You're a blessing, and that's one of the reasons why I sent my book. We don't really have a lot of money, but I figure you give so much to the world, or God gives so much to us through you. I hope that I'll be able to just sow into your life because you're such a blessing to other people, and I will be praying for you, my wife and I both. God bless you, and thank you so much.
All right, but don't hang up. I got to pray for you because I want to pray for you and your wife.
I won't hang up.
By the way, do you have children?
I have one daughter. She's 4, and I do have another one in the oven. God bless her.
I saw the baby. I was like, oh, your wife is pregnant. All right.
Yeah.
So at least I'm feeling fine about that. That's going to be a great change for her. And so be prepared because that's going to be a really good thing for her, but it's going to be a great change in how she looks at a lot of things. Father, thank you in Jesus' name for who you are. God, I just thank you for being our Alpha and Omega. But right now, Father, I thank you for being the wonderful counselor. Because, God, that's what it is. You know, counsel and might attends to these offices and mantles. So I thank you for your counsel and the might of your counsel that it can go in and, God, do the work that you plan. I thank you for Calvin and his wife. First of all, God, I pray for that leader. Lord, I don't know all of the details, but I do know that that's your leader. So I'm asking God that whatever it is that the Satan meant for evil, I'm asking that you would turn it for good. I'm asking God if he is under delusion that you would deliver him and give him his right mind back. I'm asking God that if he isn't, those who are complaining and frustrated, Lord, that you reveal the truth. I pray for this pastor that he brought in, and God, I pray the same prayer because we need ministries and churches growing and not shrinking, building up and not tearing down. So, God, I'm asking you to do it. This is your work. It's your ecclesia. So I'm asking, Jesus, that you be the great shepherd of the flock. Take this thing in tow. Take the reins of this ministry and do what you know is best. That's what I say, and God, I thank you for Calvin and his wife. I thank you, Lord, for this man's maturity and his growth. I thank you, God, that he's going from glory to glory and strength to strength and faith to faith every day. I thank you, God, that he's teachable and he's hearable. He can listen and he heeds. And God, so I thank you. He loves you. It is without a doubt he loves you. It's without a doubt that he esteems you highly in his life. So, Father God, I thank you for now taking over this situation. I've done my part. But as with Job, Father, I thank you for you taking it over and you finishing it in a way that brings you the utmost of glory and that fulfills the purpose and destiny for all of these people in their lives. And then, God, I thank you for the wife. And, Lord, cause her heart to be at peace. And Lord, cause her and her family to repair this rift so that they can go on, whether she attends the church or not. Thank you, Lord, for just causing her and her family to be at one again, however way that turns out. And God, we thank you for the baby. Bless the Lord. I thank you for this little baby. I'm asking that you continue to grow this child up even rapidly in the kingdom, to be your voice, to be your messenger, to be your sound to this generation. We cover it with the blood of the Lamb and complete perfection. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you so much again. God bless you.
And God bless you too. Keep in touch.
I will, definitely.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye.
Well,
is there a prophet in the producer room?
Yes, I'm here. I was taking my notes.
Well, you know, you can relate, because how many times have you been in a position like that as well? You know, you've been my attendant forever. I don't even know how long, you know? And sometimes people need to see the other side of it. I mean, your side of it, where you have to cover and protect and negotiate and strategize all the time. I mean, that's your life. That is Paula's life.
Oh, yeah. I can remember some significant impacting moments when I jumped out on my emotion and my opinion. And let me tell you what, it never, ever paid off in my favor. And it was really that Moses, Miriam, Aaron moment where you think you're so right and, hey, I hear from God too and all of these things. And then in some form, fashion, or another, God steps up and lets you know what, but you are nowhere near on the level or the plane of your leader. And I deal with them face to face, especially compared to how I deal with you and how much time you don't spend with God compared to your leader. So there's all those dynamics that passage put the fear, the literal genuine fear of God in me in this position to recognize just how serious it is, and that I have lost the right to just have opinions. I just can't have my opinion about anything anymore because it leads to actions because of my position that can lead to chain of events that nobody wants to have happen. It's a hard pill to swallow, but it's the price you pay for being in this role, one of them. And, of course, the rewards come with it. So you either have to take the whole thing or none of it.
And you have effectively taken the whole thing, you know, which I think is great. Well, I do. I see a great future for Calvin. I mean, obviously you do too. Such a great man, such a sweetheart in the Lord, and just humble, and I just see a wonderful, wonderful future for them in the kingdom. God is a good God. You know, he was reminding me, and I know, Ashley, you can say, I must meet, what, hundreds, if not sometimes hundreds and hundreds of people in a year, over 30 years, and so I said, wow, but when it's amazing how when God gets ready and when it's time, he makes that connection. Isn't that something?
That's right.
You know? Now, who else do I have on the line? Do I have another caller?
Oh, yes, you definitely have another caller. Your next caller is calling in from Florida. This is Miles, Dr. Price, Tasha's Miles. He's on the line, and he has a prayer request for you.
Oh, Miles, how are you? Miles, how are you doing?
Good, and you?
I am wonderful. I haven't seen you in forever. Congratulations on finishing school.
Thank you.
Now, I understand you're going into the military. Where are you going?
Either the Navy or the Air Force.
Oh, and when is that?
My next year, February sometime or December.
Oh, that is great. Okay, so tell me, what is your prayer request?
This is help me pass my ASVAB test to get into the military.
Well, I will certainly do that. Father, thank you for Miles. I thank you for who he is. God, he's like my adopted grandson, and I just thank you for him, God. I thank you for his success, his victory. God, I've been watching over his life since he was a little one, and so, God, I still take that responsibility seriously. So I'm asking God that you would put two things in his way. Number one, someone who has taken this test, who understands it, gives him a connection, hallelujah, with that person so that they can guide his faith. And then secondly, God, I'm asking that you would anoint him to see it like he's never seen it, to understand those questions like he never has before. And God, I praise you for doing it, and I call it successful. And you pick the branch of the service for him that you want, and you establish him, God, hallelujah, in what you called him to do, and let him be successful there. Let him go in and not quit. Let him finish and go all the way to the top, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, you know I love praying that, Mom.
Yes.
Well, listen, I want you to keep me posted, okay?
Okay.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
All right. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Ashley.
Yes, isn't that great?
You had a, I know, you had a surprise at my grandbaby. That's all, I love it.
I know, you've known Miles since he was a little itty bitty.
I know it. I'm telling you, I couldn't even believe it. I said, oh my gosh, he was such a titan. Now he's talking about going in the military. Oh, I love my family. Just love it. Okay, who do I have next?
Okay, next on the line is Crystal. And Crystal would like prayer because she was recently in a car accident, and she is physically doing okay, but there are just some other factors that we need to push through. So, Crystal, welcome to the line with Dr. Price.
Thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate it. I was calling for prayer about the business of the after the accident. God did show me in a dream that I was going to go through something involving the car. I just didn't know exactly what it was. I should have known when I was walking out the hospital in a dream that it was going to be an accident. But I just wanted to be in tune with the Holy Spirit and make sure I slow down enough to hear the direction of what's going on.
So am I to assume, Crystal, that you're talking about what, lawsuits, settlements? What are you talking about?
Well, actually, it's not a lawsuit or anything like that. It's just that when, if you know, being that the Father showed me in a dream beforehand, I know I'm assuming that I was to be at peace, just to keep walking in faith, that everything, mm-hmm. you know, as far as the finances and everything to get another vehicle because the family needs a vehicle, and everything falls into place financially. For us to not throw us off, we're replacing mm-hmm. the car, and so that was my main concern, not to you know, lose faith in the finances, because the Father's been healing the finances, and all of a sudden this happened.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so my question is that, are you talking about finances for your medical expenses? Are you talking about a settlement? Are you talking about lost wages? What are we talking?
I'm talking about actually buying another car.
Okay, so you want,
you
want me to pray for you to get another car, and for who to pay for, you or the insurance company?
Well, I'm going to be paying for it. I just want everything to be smooth and not a loss, a major loss.
Okay. So you want favor with the car dealership and favor with the bank so that it's a good deal.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. I'm getting there. I had to dig into this, but I got there, girl.
Okay.
Father, thank you. And, Lord, I hold up Crystal's situation to you. I'm asking God, first of all, that you give her full restoration in her body, her mind, her soul, her spirit, and in her family and home. I'm asking that you would give her 100% restoration on every front. I say every front, Father, in Jesus' name. And, Lord, I thank you that you take her by the hand, guide her to the place that she wants to go, God, guide, and connect her with the sales rep that is going to be used. It's going to be literally clay in your hands, putty in your hands, God, to make this deal happen. And, God, I thank you for doing it efficiently and expeditiously in every way, in Jesus' name. And you know what, Crystal, God, not go over your head. He's telling me to tell you this. Don't buy over your head.
Okay.
See, I'm going to say you should ask me to pray because I saw that. Don't buy over your head because of some. There's a chain of events that's coming down the line because of some things that are getting ready to happen economically in our country. You don't want to buy over your head.
Okay. Okay, that's exactly what I felt. Like I'm not. That's me. I don't want to go over my head. So that's why I'm very cautious.
Mm-hmm. And right now there's a temptation because, you know that somebody, you have all of this other external help and whatnot. But I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is saying to tell you and to tell your family, tighten up their belts.
Okay.
You need to put your family on a very tight budget. I don't know why. I mean, I can't give you the reason yet. I guess I'll put you. But I do want you to know that God said, especially tell your husband, tighten up his belt.
Yeah, I try to tell him. I do that. I do.
Well, well, he needs to do it now because if you all are gonna weather this next storm, you need to listen to what I'm saying to you.
I am.
All right.
Okay. All right.
God
thank
you.
God
You're
bless you too.
Well. Okay.
Bye
bye. Bye bye. Ashley.
All right. Are you ready to take a 5-minute breather?
No, I want another call, and then I'll take a breather.
Well, I can work that out, too. All right. We have on the line Tracina, and she actually has a follow-up call to the counsel that you gave Calvin. She is in a church. She said she took her notes about what not to do. So she has a few more questions about her own personal transition. So, Tracina, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Thank you very much. Hello, Apostle Price and Prophetess Ashley, how are you?
We're good. How are you doing, Tracina?
Oh, I'm blessed. Thank you very much.
How can I help you?
Okay, I did listen to Brother Calvin, and I did take the notes and to make sure that I was in order, and I wanted to make sure that do a recheck to follow that. I'm not guilty of sitting idle, so I'm asking if at what time should I pursue another church. I gave my awakening dream to my overseer at site, my pastor, and since that time he hasn't said anything to me about it whatsoever. And I can send you staying there with him. I did pray about the situation to find out what was going on, and God did give me some insight. And so what I've been doing was to pray on his behalf, and I continue to stay quiet about it. However, while I haven't put things out in the open, I keep things close, real close, and my communication is just with him and I. He publicizes it. So I'm trying to understand, should I pursue on into a different atmosphere so that I can grow?
Well, you said you've been continually praying for him. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Has God answered your prayers about him?
Yes. He's revealed and allowed him to reveal the intent of his heart, the reason for his hesitation and things of that sort. And I don't. And I have no problem with continue praying for him, so that the sheep stay strong. And but I still feel that I am not. I don't have he hasn't assigned me a mentor or anything of that sort. So I'm lacking in that area.
Okay, so let me ask you this. What is your position in the church?
He has not given me any position. Well, I'm a trustee, but that's about the size of it. He doesn't recognize. Well, he recognized to his ministers who have told me that he feels I'm prophetic, but he has not said anything to me about it.
Okay. So I'm getting there. Now, how long have you been in this church?
This particular church I've been in all my life. I've been away, and I've been in the military for 15 years, but then when I was drawn back to here. And I gave him my dream, and I was hoping to at least get some insight, some encouragement, or something of the sort. But I hadn't gotten that, so I didn't want to be too hasty, so I waited.
Uh-huh.
But after a while, I need to know what else.
Okay, here, let's talk a couple of things about that. I want to start with the dream. The first thing that I want to say to you is that you gave your pastor, is your pastor prophetic at all?
I thought he might have been, but I was mistaken.
Apparently. And so, you know, because sometimes a couple of things happen. If you give your a pastor a dream about anything that they don't relate to, they can't figure out, if they're not prophetic, they don't know what it means. They just, you know, they're like, I don't know what to do with it, so I'm just going to wait. And in his mind, he could be just having it on his desk waiting for God to speak to it or speak into it. That's the first thing. The second thing is that when you say publicizes, what are you talking about there? What? Give me a quick example of that.
Okay. I would communicate. The Holy Spirit led me as I was receiving knowledge spiritually. I would send the pastor an email letting him know how where I've progressed, as if he was my spiritual advisor. And even though he had not responded to me regarding the dream, I had found out some information. And by the way, he did consult someone who was prophetic, who let me know that they knew what my dream was. So the only way they would know is if the pastor had let them know. And uh-huh. I'm sorry, I got distracted. I got knocked off. Your question, I'm sorry.
Well, you answered it, actually. You probably didn't realize you did. So here's the thing. So you think that your pastor should mentor you in the prophetic. Is that what you think?
No, I was hoping, well, it was my understanding that if he's not prophetic, he's the Holy Spirit, I was hoping, expecting the Holy Spirit would guide him to direct me in the direction I should go to so that I can develop.
So has he done this for anyone else in the church?
No one else has. He does. No, no.
So you can see that that's not his practice.
Right.
Okay. So I'm trying to get to the heart of this thing. So it's not his practice. He just wants to have a nice, good, evangelical, maybe charismatic church. He doesn't want to get deep and prophetic.
No, it's not. It's a basic Baptist.
Okay. So see, now, you know, you just took me all around the world. You could have just said that. I'd have got it. Okay. So that's not, I'm teasing you, that's not the church for you if you want to do the prophetic. You grew up in that church, that's fine. If you feel like God is calling you to the prophetic, and you know that that's not only is that not your church, but that's not necessarily that denomination as a rule. And I mean, I know we have the Free Will Baptists that do a little something, but if you know that, then obviously you need to find out where God wants you to go, and you need to start seeking Him for the next place for your prophetic development. However, I would suggest you take my assessment to make sure.
I've done that.
Okay, and what did we say?
It says apostolic prophetic.
So then you need to find one of two things, either stay in your church and go to school, because just because you are called doesn't mean you're ready to be used in that area, so you mm-hmm. need to stay in your church and go to school, or you need to, what state are you in? Where are you?
Maryland,
one of my favorite places. Well, they got a lot going on in there prophetically in Maryland, okay? So you ought not to have too difficult a time finding that. May I suggest that you start becoming developed, okay? Because I'm sure that if you had that advisement, then we would have told you all of your high, low, and medium priority areas. And
yes, I'm studying on that.
Uh-huh, yeah. See, in all those areas, that's what's going to keep you from occupying this thing. So if your pastor is not inclined to do it, doesn't want it in his church, then you don't have much of a choice. And that doesn't make him doing anything wrong. He's being what God gave him to be. Then I'm going to pray for God to do two things, to give you a mentor and to lead you to the congregation that is going to suit you. But when you get there, do not go there talking about I'm ready to rise to the top. You ought to go there and start at the bottom.
Yes, ma'am.
Because, see, sometimes we think church is a lateral move. We spent 15 years or 20 years in this church, and we rose up in that church, and we want to go to the next church and be received on that level, whether the church knows this or not, or whether they move according to us, or whether our experience is compatible or comparable to what they're doing. Where you go, you're going to start at the bottom. Be at peace with that.
I am. I understand.
And if you're going to go and do your training, do your training. I'm going to tell you right now, I can describe for you the church you're going to find. You're going to find a church that's going to act like they don't even really regard you that much as a prophet. And although it's not their fault, God is going to cloak you while he develops you.
Okay.
And so a lot of all of that stuff is not going to show up that quick. and that quickly, rather. So be at peace. Get the training. Now, you can do it through our site online. You can go to our site online. You can call back into our advisor. They'll put you on a ministry development track. I don't know who your advisor was, but they will definitely do that. So you can do that. So you don't have to leave your church even if you don't think it's time. But if you are there and you want them to use you just because we discovered something about you, that's asking a lot if you're not trained or developed.
Right, right.
Okay? So you can do this one of two ways. You can pray for another church, and I'll pray for that for you. Or you can get on one of our ministry readiness tracks, and we could develop you through our organization, and you don't have to leave your church until you're ready.
Okay.
That would be, you know, to me, that's an ideal thing because you're a trustee here. That means that they're relying on you for something. And believe me, once you, and we've been, I've done this. I've done this for a lot of years. Even in a Baptist church, I've graduated, I've educated people who go to Baptist churches. They don't do profit or anything like that. First of all, they don't do it publicly. But as time goes on, you find out the pastor is being dealt with by God in the back room and in his prayer closet. So you don't know what God is doing. But when I developed the prophet and they realized that they had a person who was learning on their own how to handle that ministry in their denominational environment, this pastor began to use these people. And to this day, even though they won't say that they're prophetic to this day, they recognize this person as a prophet, they use them, they rely on them, and this person has become the pastor's confidant. So don't always think that just because these are denominational churches that God doesn't want that flame in there or he doesn't want you to do it. This man just doesn't know whether or not you're going to go off half-cocked and tear up his church.
Yes, I do understand. It's been 16 years since I gave him the dream, since, need I should say.
Yeah, but you just took my assessment recently. So
it's been over a year.
Right, but it hasn't been 16 years.
Okay, yes, right.
Okay, and you're not going to change my thought on this because I know about buddy prophets. I've dealt with buddy prophets. I know how enthusiastic they get. I know how zealous they are. It's a naturally strong office, so I know how strong-willed they can be. If you listen to me, God could probably use you to strike a flame in that church.
Okay, that's what I really want.
Then you're going to have to do it God's way. Did you hear my beginning discussion? If not, I want you, when this call is over, I want you to go back to my site and listen to this again because I'm telling you, you don't have to jump the gun on God. And no matter what, it takes God no less than 5 years to get a prophet stable and 10 years to get them ready.
Okay.
That's just how it goes because you can prophesy in 30 seconds, but can you do all of the other parts of the office to secure the institutions that God would assign you to? That takes
Absolutely.
Time.
I understand.
And you know that. You're a military girl, so you know that.
Yes.
All right? So I need you to make the call. Call our advisor. Call whoever your advisor was. Tell them, okay, I'm ready to get on a program. Get on a program and stick to it and stop being so excited to show off your gift that you don't want to perfect it.
Okay.
Be a master. You were in the military. They did not let you all jump rank whenever you felt like it. With God, it's not much different. He just doesn't have a bunch of physical barriers and physical obstacles. He has spiritual ones. And so it's like this man not opening up to you. That is God. And he's not opening up to you because God wants to see what are you going to do with what I want to trust you with? Are you going to use it to mow this guy over? Are you going to use it to upset my church? What are you going to do? The first thing God wants to know is whether or not you're going to prepare yourself for it, or are you just going to run with what's in your heart?
I see.
And that's because today, and this is not your fault. This has a lot to do with the way we have been, the prophetic was awakened. God indulged a lot of things that were not his ideal. But he indulged them because he wanted to get this thing back on the books. So he did. But now he's calling us to be mature, to be educated, to be developed, and to be restrained. So here's the deal. If you really believe this is it and I don't question it, then you believe it enough to be good at it.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, I'm going to pray. Father, thank you so much for Tristina. Lord, I thank you for her life, her purpose, her destiny, and God, her resolve. Now, Lord, I'm asking that you begin to take over her development so that she can fulfill her purpose, and I'm asking you to give her the peace inside, the inner peace inside to know that she's in your hand and she's following your footsteps. And God, I ask you to bless her church, bless her pastor, bless the leadership, and cover it all with the blood of the Lamb. And God, as you get her ready, Lord, let her work speak for her. Let her development showcase her. Let that open up this man's heart for her, if that is what you want. God, and don't let her leave a day before you need her to leave, but also, Lord, don't let her stay a day longer. So whichever way you want it to go, Jesus, this is your sheep. We're putting her in your hand. Let her be led and guided by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, Father. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you very much. God bless you, and you have a wonderful day.
You too. Keep me posted.
I will do. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Do I get a break now?
Now you get a break, for sure. Today's in the classroom, tonight, I should say, is about character. And many of the things that you address today, actually most of the things that you address today, you teach on in that lesson. And so we're going to take this breather, listen to a snippet of that to encourage our listeners to register for class tonight or tomorrow. Tomorrow's a better time for you. It's not just available on Thursday night. So we'll be right back after these messages.
Would you like to take the guesswork out of discovering your calling and purpose by using one simple tool? PPM Global Resources Ministry Assessment Questionnaire offers a variety of solutions for all aspects of the ministry spectrum for people just like you who are seeking sound wisdom, direction, and guidance to help you get into your place. The Ministry Assessment Questionnaire is specially designed to identify and assess what God has put in you, whether you are called to a fivefold office or ministry gifting. Going beyond a personality test or gift survey, you'll learn about your strengths and weaknesses, emotional intelligence, ministry readiness and reliability, leadership capability, the right education you need, and so much more. Your ministry assessment questionnaire comes with a 30-minute advisement session to review your assessment with one of our trained advisors, who will walk you through your results and customize the best plan of action for you. To get started now, go to ppmglobalresources.com and fill out your personal profile. Assess, advise, apply, achieve. If God has called you to it, we want to help you do it.
The journey we have been on is a journey of, all right, and today you're not going to be whipping out tourniquets and band-aids and swabs. How's that? How's that? What if you just decide to chew it down and swallow it and eat it like it's going to help you? Now, we've talked a lot about character. What are some of the things that you all remember so far about the character piece that's important to where we're going? It takes consciousness. Anything else? Honesty. It takes honesty. You have to consider your heart and what's going on in there. Don't assume that just because you want it to be nice stuff in there, it's full of nice stuff. Hallelujah. You know how we like, God knows my heart. And nobody ever asked him, so what is it that he's really seeing? Especially if he says out of the abundance of the heart. What else? Take inventory of the things that you don't need any longer. How's that? Couple more. Anyone else? It takes agreement with agreement and compliance. I like that. In the back there. Recognize your cycles. That was a goodie. Wasn't that good? So you can know when you're entering your season of the setup. Hallelujah. Because you do have seasons of setups. You know, the Bible says that there is a what? A time and a season for every work and every purpose. So you realize that there are seasons that you're supposed to go through, and you need to gear up and be ready to conquer. Instead of what we like to do, evade. Jesus, take it away from me, please. I mean, after all, God, I've been through 4 trials last year. My tire went flat. Couldn't find my check card for 2 weeks. My child came home from school late.
And then my boss yelled at me. I mean, God, those are trials, tribulations. God, I didn't even know I was going to get through. Trials have signatures linked to your purpose and destiny. Now, that was a good one for me to move into what we're going to cover today about character. The trying of your faith is not to take you out. It's to take you up. The trying of your faith is not to take you out. It's to take you up. If God doesn't try you, it's because he has no intention of using you. You try out your new shoes because you're going to wear them. See? Isn't that wonderful? You try out your new shoes. You try out your car. You test drive a car because you want to buy it and use it. You go through a job interview because they want to use you. They test you on your job because you are to be used. You don't test that piece of furniture sitting on your coffee table. It's just to sit there and decorate and keep up space. You understand? The idea of all of this discussion is to change your perspective on trials. Because trials mean testing, testing to prove, prove to approve.
And there is a sneak peek of the In the Classroom on character.
You enjoyed picking that one out too, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Well, it's so interesting that you would say that, because I'll tell you something. If we ever took the religious smear and the religious ilk off of trials, we'll begin to say, God is testing me because he's going to use me in the area of. This test was to examine my ability to do. This test was to measure my thus and what. What if we began to talk like that instead of thinking of all trials, Ashley, as judgments that are about that are going to be followed up with penalties that we can't live with? That is not what God has in mind. And so I think that's great for all those of you who are listening. Hey, test us out tonight. Check us out tonight. Go in and enroll, sign up for the In the Classroom tonight. I do believe it's going to change you. It's going to empower you. And that's what God is about. God is about power and empowering. God is all powerful. No matter what, God is always dispensing power. Whether it's great, great, great power, power to move mountains, power to climb a mountain, power to get around a mountain. God is always about power. And so when we realize that, because God is about power, he wants to make sure that we use it to his advantage and to our benefit, to our good. So he's always going to test before he empowers. He's going to correct before he empowers. You're going to have a great time with that session tonight. So may I encourage all of you all to just sign up and say, you know what, I'm going to do it. It's going to be great, and you're going to love it. Okay, Ashley, I got time for maybe one more call.
Definitely one more call, and then after that, we're going to talk about the Apostolic Summit that's coming up in November. But right now, we have Deshauna on the line, and she is calling from Missouri. She's calling from Missouri, and she has a question about getting into her purpose. Deshauna, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Well, hello there, Dr. Price. How are you?
I am great, but I'm about to surprise you. So, Deshauna, you were able to get on the call today, huh?
Yes.
I told you, I read my Facebook. I remember you. And
yes.
I remember your question. Yes, I do. I am good at what I do because I aim to be good. And I read my Facebook, and I remembered your name, and you made it on the call because I prayed for you to get through. So, hallelujah.
Oh, praise God. And you know what is so exciting about this? I actually have your book.
Which one?
I have your book. I have the Prophet's Dictionary.
See? Now, did you read it?
I have read it. I haven't read it thoroughly, but I have read it.
Well, it is a dictionary, so Deshauna, I'll forgive you. How's that?
Yes.
See?
Well,
but I surprised you.
I didn't even know that. I didn't even know you wrote that until I went to your website while I was sitting here waiting on the call. I went to your website, and I was like, oh, my God, this is Paul, Dr. Paul Price, because I really didn't know who you were.
Well, you know what? We have to fix that. I'm going to have to give me an ad agency or something because people often don't connect me with my books and my work. But I just want you to know, I looked at it this morning, and I said, you gave me this whole long list. You're talking about finances. You're talking about fear. You're talking about somebody coaching. I'm good at this. I am good at this, girl. Don't mess with me.
Yes, yes.
I read my Facebook, and I do get them now and again. Now, listen, when I start getting, well, I don't know. I'm already maxed out with friends, so I can't get any more friends. I don't know what I'm going to do. But in any event, I read them because I pray, because this is not just an exercise for me. I am committed to this. I am committed to your success. And I want you to know, I knew I was going to talk to you because God answered me. And he told me to tell you this. Number one, Deshauna, stop celebrating your obstacles. That's number one. Stop celebrating your obstacles. Live by objectives and not obstacles. And here's what I mean. Everything great has obstacles, and every new thing has fear. And sometimes it's not fear that you don't want to do it. It's a fear of the unknown. It's a fear of how it's going to turn out. The only answer to conquering fear is competence, because confidence comes from competence. The more you know what you're doing, the less you're afraid of it. So that means, my beloved, you need to go to school, you need to get some mentorship, you need to get some training for the purpose that God has on your life. But fear is only an announcement of lack of knowledge or ignorance, if you'll forgive me, not trying to be derogatory. But that's what it means. Fear signals, I don't know enough about this. Fear says, I haven't tested this enough. Fear says, I haven't experienced this enough. I need more experience in this. I need more exposure. That's all fear is telling you. Because if it's not fear of harm, because there's a difference between fear and threat. So if it's not a threatening fear, then it's anxiety. And anxiety is only based on not knowing enough. It's the unknown that causes anxiety. So that means you have to make yourself more knowledgeable, more informed, more equipped. So, and you need to swim in that pond. If you want to be a banker, go then swim with bankers, swim. You want to be a chef, a caterer, swim with caterers and chefs go. You know? But you yourself have got to get to a place where you recognize that you can't celebrate your obstacles, and sometimes removing an obstacle is just a matter of learning all about it.
Hmm.
See, fear, you notice that, the more you do something, the less you fear it, because you replace the anxiety with knowledge and experience. That's the number one thing. And many times, people say, I'm afraid to drive. Well, you're afraid to drive until you drive. Now, and so that's the first thing I have to say to you. Now, finance. Well, finance takes effort. It's the hand of the diligence that will prosper. So we have to figure out what it is that you need to do. Do you need to work? Do you need to get more education? Do you need to help somebody else? Do you need to partner with someone? What do you need to do to break the seal on your finances? We already know that the fear factor has to be removed. That's the first thing we've got to do. And so, and listening to your voice, I'm telling you, your communications and your voice, two different things. Something is spiking you out because you are well equipped for what you want to do. You are well equipped. Your soul and your spirit is geared up to go. We just need to get you a plan. Did you take my assessment yet?
No, I looked at it today. I just found out about you today.
Well, you're going to take the assessment, and our advisor is going to tell you how to get where you have to go, because you need to do that. And sometimes it's just a matter of knowing where to begin, because even if you get a dozen prophecies, and I don't have a problem with that, but you still have to follow up a prophecy, which is like a voicemail. It's like a voice message. You're not going to get much more voice messages. Somebody called and said, God has a great big blessing for you, and if you just hold fast, you're going to get it. And hang up. The first thing you're going to have is questions. What message?
Right.
What do you have for me? How do I get it? What am I holding on to? A prophecy is voicemail. But now you need information. You need counsel. You need wisdom. And that requires consultation. So prophecy has to be followed up with consultation, and then that with application. The wisdom of the how-to. And so you are in that place where it's time for you to do that. So I want you to take that assessment. I want you to get that advisement, and you're going to walk away with a plan for what you want to do. If you don't have a mentor, then our team, we also have a mentorship team here. You can be mentored through this process, and we will mentor you on point and on purpose because we have hard data on you. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited. You picked a good time to just discover me. You just fell upon me.
Well, but a woman of God that is connected to you, actually, she posts on my page, and I saw that she posted that on the page, and I was just kind of going through that moment at that time. And when I looked at the page and I saw that, I said, so I called her up and I said, who is Dr. Price? And she told me, she said, oh, you got to get plugged into her. She's a dynamic woman of God. So on and so forth, and I was like, okay, I said, I have this other call I have to get on to, so I'm not sure I'm going to be able to get on there, but I'm going to try to get on there. I'm going to make sure that I, you know, try to take some time, but I didn't think I was going to get to actually talk to you.
Well, see, the Lord had a plan, so the first thing we're going to do is I want you to remember this, change your conversation. You are well able. You may need to explore, you may need to investigate, but you change your conversation.
Mm.
Yes?
Yes, ma'am.
Change your conversation. You are not weak. You are not feeble. You're not inept. You're not incapable. You just need to be developed. And you do need a strong mentor. You probably have one, and you're probably not even letting them find out all about you. But that's you. You can never, I don't want you to ever write anything like that again.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay? Because it doesn't fit
yes,
you.
Ma'am.
If it fit
yes,
you,
ma'am.
That'd be something different. That doesn't fit you. And so we can talk a little more about that later, but I'm going to pray, and then we're going to, and then you're going to go and take that assessment, and you're going to get geared up for us to get you in purpose and destiny and to get you economically strong.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's what I hear in your voice. You have the spirit of a very significant mentor, which means we need to get you into your own mentorship so that you can pass that on to others.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to be a great mentor. If you give us 3 to 5 years, you're going to be an amazing mentor. You're going to have a mentoring organization because it's in your spirit. You're going to be able to nurture and develop people in your particular vein.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're going to get you started. You are geared up. You can do this. Now, I don't care about your setback. You're one of those people that, you know, you just have up days and down days. That's all. You don't, you know, you just don't stay down long. You just got up days
you
and down
that.
Days.
You got that. That is so
good. I know, because I told you I really am good at this. I told you I work at being good at it. And so I work at working for you guys because it's important that this works for you guys. What it does for me and God, we rolling. But I want it to work for you guys. And I'm telling you, you are called to be a mentor, and you're going to have a mentoring institution that's going to break people beyond. And it's going to start with them having understanding how to communicate positively, how to react to upsets, how to react to trials, because you have a bounce-back spirit. And I'm telling you, you will have a bounce-back mentorship. You'll bring a lot of people back. So you may not communicate like that again. That is not the will of God concerning you.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have to start, I don't care, buy yourself some books on positive thinking, positive saying. I don't really care how you do it, but it's not you. And so this is a spirit that is a familiar spirit that's on you, and he's dogging your heels to frustrate you so that you don't fulfill purpose. And he's trying to paint in your mind a you that it wants and not the you you are.
Mm-hmm.
So I need you to stop buying into that.
Amen.
Okay? So you're going to love this. Aren't mm-hmm. you glad this recorded? You can go back and download it on your computer and listen to it again and again and again and again and again. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it is, and I am so glad that I was able to tap in. I'm so thankful that she gave me the number. I'm going to have to call her and give her all kind of kisses and smooches through the phone.
I know. Isn't Isn't that wonderful? But whoever she is, just tell her I said hi. Let me pray for you right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for Deshauna. I thank you for her life. I thank you for her journey and her strength, God, and her fortitude. And now, God, I'm asking that you would take her hand and walk her point for point, place to place, all the way through every stage of this destiny pursuit of her till you bring her into her place of fulfillment. God, give her the right mentors, the right classes, the right training. Lord Jesus, you seize this vessel and you keep it and grip it in your own developmental path for your glory, that nothing happens to it, that it doesn't get tainted, that you may use it for the purpose for which you made it, Savior. In erobokotarata. In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
God bless you.
In Jesus' name. God bless you. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. We'll talk soon.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Ashley.
Well, that was comical.
I know that you love Jesus.
Well, what was so funny is whenever I broke into the call to get her information, she was like, oh, are you talking to me? It was just so funny. She said, I just didn't expect to get through.
But how about
she had to kind of pull herself, she had to pull herself together just to give her request. So that was comical from the beginning.
Well, she was the one I was saying, oh, wow. But I looked at that thing and I said, no, that's not right. Something's off with that. I don't know what it is. And so I just kind of set it aside. So when you said she got through, I said, now look at God. God is committed to talking to that woman. It's times like this, Ashley, that when we do this show every Thursday, it's situations like that that let you know God is fully in charge. And he gets a kick out of it because in no way did he let me know. You know how many callers we have. You know more than I do. And so no way could she have gotten through because you didn't know except the Holy Ghost put her through. And I thought, man, God, you really wanted to get this woman in purpose and destiny because that thing was dogging her heels and just dogging her life, trying to bring her down off of where God set her to be in his high places. So I think that's wonderful. These are the times that I love my Thursday.
Oh, yeah. Well, and she wasn't even really supposed to be on because I hit the button for somebody else, and they never clicked over their line because sometimes people put the phone on mute, and they just kind of go about their business and don't expect me to be like, hello, do you have a prayer request after the show started? And then somebody else dropped off. They were driving, and they couldn't be on the line longer than 5 minutes or something, so I just kept rolling down the line. That's why we tell people, stay on the call. Stay on the line, and please stay close to your phone.
I know. At least stay close to the mute button.
Yes.
But again,
go ahead.
I said, but again, it's in God's hands. That's what I like about this. This is Jesus. He picks and chooses as he wills. He handles what he wants. And, you know, and sometimes people do realize, and we hear it all of the time, Ashley, where they say, well, I got my question answered by listening to so-and-so, and I got information listening to this one, and on and on and on. So I'm just really in love. These are the things I just fall in love with the Lord all over again. He is so amazing. Well, hey, Ashley, we don't have time for any more calls because you said we were going to talk about some other stuff. So now what else do you have going on, girl?
Apostolic Summit Countdown, November 21st through the 23rd here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Now, here's what's important. Now through September 10th is our buy one, get one free registration, $125 for two people. You need to go to www.drpaulaprice.com, click on the events tab, and then whenever you fill out that form, if you're going to do the buy one, get one at the bottom, you need to make sure you have the email address and the phone number of the other person that you are registering at the same time, because we have to make sure that everybody gets their individual information for the summit. Again, it's through September 10th. Program your reminders. Do not miss the opportunity to get that buy one, get one.
I mean, that is amazing. And when they go there, they can look at our early flyer so that you can see some of the things that we've got going on. Listen, we've been doing this. Okay, Ashley, this is your test, okay? This decides whether or not you get lunch.
What?
How long have we been doing this?
Oh, boy. I was still in college. Let's see. Is this our 13th one? Did we start in 2000 or 2001? I think this is 13.
So, listen, we can treat this. Do you want to call a friend and get the answer?
Yeah, I know, right? Yes, I want to talk to Tropital. I think she knows.
Well, you know Adia will know, right?
Yeah.
So, is it official you don't get lunch?
No, that's not official. I'm just that's off the table. I'm definitely getting lunch.
Actually, we started 2000, so this is our 13th one.
Yay, I get dessert, too.
No, you didn't get it right.
Oh, no, she said 2001. It's 2001.
Who said that?
Prophetala. She texted me and said 2001.
You know, it's not fair for your friends to be helping you out like that. What is that? What's that? Listen, you're going to have to share your lunch with her. That's just all we can do.
That's fair.
Okay, so this is, in fact, our 12th one. So we are excited about it. We've been doing it every year, and every year it's growing and growing. We've been getting a great response from this year, even from what we put up online so far, and before we were still coming out of the form, we were already getting a great response. It's very different. Now, here's what you want to do. Those of you who say, well, you know, I've been to conference after conference, that's not me. If you've been on with me every Thursday or you've been on with me on Tuesday night, I am not the norm. I don't do the norm. And I don't know why. I've tried. It didn't work for me. We are different. This is going to be a different experience for you. And when you walk away, your life will be changed. Your ministry will be changed. If you bring a group, your team will be changed. You'll be able to meet with your team and debrief and brainstorm with your team for months after they leave here. It is a very revolutionary process, a very revolutionary experience. I guarantee you, you make the effort and you come, I guarantee you, it will be an experience that you can say, I've never had. And that is the truth. And so if it's there, hey, don't miss this window. If you're an intercessor, if you're a prophetic company leader, if you're a chief prophet or an apostle, if you're a senior leader and you have a church, if you are a minister of any kind, if you're a saint, I just want to understand God. No matter what, it says apostolic for a reason, because that's the branch, the dimension that God has put me in, but the church is apostolic. You realize that the church was founded by apostles. So there's no way in the world we can have anything apostolic and not include the entire body of Christ. So we encourage you to come. You need prayer, you need intercession, you need counsel, whatever it is, this is a full service event. You will not be disappointed. We encourage you to take advantage of our special. Listen, beat the deadline, but this is worth it. If you're a leader, bring your team. Nothing is better than bringing a team and letting us do the heavy lifting for you. So when you go back, you look like a hero, and your team is ready, and they're ready to hit the ground running. So we encourage you to do that. Ashley, do you have anything else to say? I know you had some other things on your list. Isn't it great how I include you? Don't you like that?
Yes, I do.
Well,
I always have something because you are always doing something. Okay, you have your executive apostleship training retreat in like 90 seconds. Lay it out for us, Dr. Price.
This is a by invitation only. It's a private session of high-level training and development for those who are apostolic in any capacity. It is, again, like I said, by invitation only, so you need to call our offices and say, hey, I want to find out how to get there. It's the last week of September, the 24th through the 28th here in Tulsa. Listen, the classes are small on purpose because this is a working, roll-up-your-sleeves, dig-in strategy, brain storming think tank environment. You will love it. It's only for the people who can do something with the information. So, hey, contact me if you say I want to be a part of that. Again, the numbers are very small on purpose, so contact me today so you can get your spot. Is that 90 seconds? Did I sound like I was talking in tongues? I mean, that was 90 seconds. I know I did it.
Well, we have the interpretation readily available, so you're good.
Then.
We're gonna,
okay, I'm done.
You have your go ahead.
Am I done? I'm not finished yet.
You're done. You're good. You're done. All right. That's a wrap for this for today's show on the Paula Price Show, which is always new every morning and afternoon. And so God bless you. Thank you for listening in. And we will hear you on the call on Tuesday.
Amen.
Don't miss the annual Apostolic Summit with Dr. Paula Price. Join us for a weekend of explosive fivefold ministry training, apostleship branding, apostolic and prophetic collaboration, kingdom leadership, strategy sessions for the upcoming year, and so much more. If you are an apostle, prophet, teacher, pastor, evangelist, ministry leader, or apostolic student, then this event is for you. You will enjoy a variety of dynamic speakers during both the classroom-style sessions and the general sessions, as well as personal ministry and prayer. Call now to register and reserve your place. Special discounts are available. Call 877-419-1299 for more information or visit www.drpaulaprice.com to register today. Support the Paula Price Show today. For as little as $15 per month, you can help us expand our reach across the globe, ministering to hundreds of listeners weekly. Show your support today by visiting www.drpaulaprice.com and clicking the support button. Make a one-time seed or sign up for a monthly subscription. That's www.drpaulaprice.com. Click support and enjoy Dr. Paula Price in your living room.